the church calendar today. Churches all around the world are celebrating what we call Ascension Sunday. And this is the day in which the text we're about to read reminds us, as the disciples gathered with Jesus that last time they saw him ascend into heaven. And we might forget this. Easter, no one saw the moment that Jesus rose from the dead. And in this moment, the disciples saw Jesus as he was taken up. And in this moment, I think we're invited to consider what that means for us. So we hear in these words, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Then they gathered around him, the disciples, and they asked Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." And he said this. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, though you ascended, we give thanks for your kept promise that you sent that Holy Spirit. May that Spirit who lives in us and is as close to us as our very breath speak this day that we might hear you, that we might encounter the living one, and that our purpose and our callings might be renewed, that everything we do and say might bring honor and glory to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the living one, we pray. Amen. So I think it's really easy, friends, for us to read the Bible, specifically those sections that include the disciples. I think it's easy to kind of slip into the mode of thinking that these were trained pastors, that these were men who were theologians, that they had gone to school for the work that Jesus would call them to. And I think what we forget is Jesus called professional fishermen, that Jesus had accountants, that Jesus had laborers who he called to be the ones who followed him. And yes, these men, they saw Jesus crucified and died. They saw Jesus resurrected. They saw him taught and appear before the multitudes after his resurrection. And now I just need you to imagine these men, these women who have been following Jesus all this time. They have this moment where Jesus is standing there with them on this hill, and they ask the question that has been haunting. It's just been behind them the whole time. They ask Jesus, "Is this the time? Jesus, is this the moment you're finally going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And to them, that was as natural as breathing. They'd been taught since they were little kids that this was the promise, that God would one day be faithful. Rome would be done away with, and Israel, their nation, could finally be free again from this foreign entity that kept pulling the strings. And Jesus in this moment, surely, calmly, lovingly, and yet wisely and carefully turns to these disciples, and he says to them, "It's not for you to know the time. It's not for you to know the dates that the Father has set by his own authority." But he doesn't want them to feel that they've been left empty-handed. He tells them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll have a purpose. The power will give you the purpose of being witnesses." In Jerusalem, that makes sense. Judea, a little farther away. Samaria, which gets a little uncomfortable if you're a first century Jew, even to the very ends of the earth. And then I like to imagine if this was a movie, the orchestra music swells, Jesus starts lifting off the ground. And you know, the Bible isn't the kind of book that you get a lot of humor in, so I feel like you need to point out when there's something in there that fits. you have this really interesting scene that the writer of this book, Acts, paints. Because remember, you have professional fishermen, right? You have the salt of the earth, men who are accustomed to hard work. And here they are, all of them, eyes pointed forward, jaw completely concreted to the ground, all of their lives sucked into this moment as a man rises up into the sky and disappears into the clouds, when suddenly, just out of nowhere, two men dressed in white come over, and you can just imagine, right? What are y'all looking at? Y'all are weird, right? It's supposed to be a funny moment in the text because clearly these men have seen something transformational, not just in their own lives, but for the history of every Christian that will follow them. And yet for this moment, they're doing nothing other than looking out into this distance, hoping that something else is going to happen when all they see are clouds and birds. And the truth is, I think any one of us would have been transfixed. We would have all kept looking until he disappeared. But I wonder, do you think that the disciples thought, he's coming back in a couple minutes, maybe an hour. All we need to do is just sit and wait, and it'll happen. But that question that they ask, it's poignant. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Because it changes everything. The disciples watched as Jesus ascended, and so for a moment, the thought that they had was all they needed to do was stand and wait. But Jesus had given them a mission to fulfill. In the meantime, from the moment he left to the moment he would return, Jesus was clear, you have a purpose, you have a task, you are to be my witnesses. And the truth is that their mission is also our mission. It wasn't just Jesus's private moment with his disciples then. It has now been given to us like the handing off of the baton in the faith marathon. We too receive that same witness. And it's easy for us, I think, to live our lives on that inner state of living. You know what I mean? Where you just look ahead. You really, life is coming at you at 100 miles an hour. So you don't look right. You don't look left. You just try to do the stuff that you need to get done. Life is frantic. And in doing so, we miss the ways that God is working in our lives, in us, through us, among us. We miss that God is equipping and preparing us in every season of our lives, even this season, for the work he's given us to do. This book, Luke writes it masterfully, as he does with all of his writings, but there's a piece in it we might miss, because in the original language, Luke is doing something really interesting with time. The disciples asked Jesus this very specific question. Is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They're interested in what's going to happen right now. Jesus responds and says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates. So in the original language, there's an interesting thing happening there. The time that Luke is referencing there is chronological time. In other words, he's talking about the watch. I'll meet you at the coffee shop, 3 o'clock. It's the thing that we all know just keeps going and going and going, and we mark it at various stages. It's chronological in that way. Jesus is saying, it's not for us to know the time, the moment in which God is going to do this work. But that second word that we have translated, at least in this text, we have as date. Sometimes it's translated months. You might think that's like date on a calendar, like July 31st. That wouldn't be correct, because actually what Jesus is saying in the original language is purpose or intention. So in other words, he's saying it's not for us to know the moment in time. It's also not for us to understand all of what God is intending and doing in the world. Our job isn't to have it all figured out. Our job is just to be faithful, for us to do what we are called to do in this time and in God's purpose for our lives today. And make no mistake about it, right? Knowing what time it is matters, right? It matters that you know the time that you're living in, because you wouldn't be embarrassed to show up to that dinner party wearing your pajamas. That'd be ridiculous. Or you'd be laughed at if you brought your ice fishing gear out in the middle of summer because you missed what time it was. Every season of life presents us with different struggles and challenges, but it also gives us unique opportunities. Because regardless where we are in the chronological stage of life, God has a purpose for us in that moment. And if we're open and humble and discerning, we might hear, see, and be able to live out that purpose in the world. I think that's what Luke is trying to help us understand in Jesus' final lesson before he ascends. The disciples will receive power, and not just any power, but the power to be witnesses, to do and say things in the world that shows others the truth of who Jesus is and who we've seen him to be. And that has a way of going out from us. First, it's Jerusalem, the closest place, then Judea, then the next step would be Samaria, and then it just keeps going till it reaches the ends of the earth. So no matter what season of life we're in, no matter where we are in the timeline of our lives, Luke wants us to know we've been given the power of God, who's the Holy Spirit. And our calling is to be witnesses, and our task is to live out God's plan and mission in the world. I think that there's a temptation that we as Christians have where we find ourselves, maybe not physically, but spiritually like the disciples that day. We go do the thing. We come to church on Sunday because that's what we do as Christians. We pick up our Bible in the morning and we read it because that's the habit of discipleship that we have. But at some point amidst this busy inner state of life, we find ourselves just doing this and staring up. And we forget that the calling we've given, the Spirit of God who lives in us, has not been for us to just comfort us, but to equip us to be the witnesses to God wherever we are at this stage of our lives. To hear God's calling for today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. It requires that we practice intentionality to listen to God and to follow where he leads us. I think that this looks different in every season of life, and it would be unique for every single person in this room. But I was thinking this week that there's a beautiful way in which the Spirit of God works at us no matter what moment in time we're living. No matter the season of life that we are living in, God has a way of working in us. And I was thinking the other day as we were working with some younger families, maybe this isn't your story right now, but you've got young kids at home and you're basically just trying to keep them from eating sugar all day and complaining and fighting. And then, you know, they lose things. And basically every day feels like a string of trying to find stuff left by kids. It's hard to think in that moment that you have a divine task. It's hard in that moment to think, I'm doing what God has equipped me to do. But friends, it is an incredible gift. If you're in a moment of life with busyness and young kids and you're just basically saying, yeah, I can't get them to eat banana and that's the task for the day, that is you doing God's work in the world. Remember, someday that child will go on and be a witness everywhere they go to the love of Jesus Christ. What a gift in that season of life. Others might not relate to that. You might say, yeah, I'm in the middle stage of life. I'm just literally trying to make sure I don't miss the next thing on the calendar. Tonight's Cherokee. Next week, we're in Sibley. It's just coming at you at 1,000 miles an hour. It's just basically waking up every day and trying to meet that day with the tasks involved. Friends, everywhere you go, every moment that you have an opportunity to interact with another person, you are given the gift by Jesus Christ to witness to them by what you do and say to the goodness of God for the world. It's an astonishing reminder that when you make that drive over to wherever it is, that's your Judea, it's your Samaria, and you as a Christian are a witness in that place. And then I think that sometimes we forget, and we should always remind ourselves that there are others, and this may be you, who are in a season of life that's not full of busyness. It's full of a kind of uncomfortable stillness. Maybe there's treatments, maybe there's health struggles, maybe there's just the inability to get out of the house like you used to. Maybe for you the idea is tempting, my time of witness has ended. I'm retiring from the stuff that I do at church. And if that's you, then I want to remind you there's no moment, there's no season of life where God doesn't work through us. It might change. But don't forsake the gift of a card. If you've ever received a card of encouragement sent by someone at the right time in the right moment, that can transform not just a day or a week, but a month. Don't forget the ministry of a phone call to reach out to someone. Say, I'm thinking of you and I'm praying for you. It strikes me, friends, as we have a moment for prayer in the sanctuary, that this isn't just a time where we share the struggles and joys of our life. We don't just say it out loud. If you've ever been on the receiving end of the prayer chain at First Pres, you know that it is followed throughout the weeks that come with people calling and cards written and people saying, how can I help? And I want to encourage you, it does not matter if you have a 2-year-old at home. It does not matter if you are 99 and a half years old. Everywhere in that entire spectrum, God, by the power of His Spirit, has a calling for you. And that calling may not be the ends of the earth, but God needs you in Jerusalem. And some of you, your paths will take you farther than that, and may you be faithful and witnesses as you go. But I want to remind you, no matter what God's calling is for you today, I can be certain it's not you planted and just looking up. It's not you just waiting for the thing to happen. In the meantime, you have a task. My prayer for you, the prayer for me, is that we might remember that that task is not just ours to ourselves. It is God's work in us. It's His Spirit who's been given to you, empowering you to be a witness, not just so that you might say the right things, but that you might live the kind of life that others see the hope of the gospel in you. I want you to imagine, not that you're on a hillside and you're looking up, I want you to imagine that when you're in your lazy boy watching TV, or you're sitting on the fishing boat on the lake, what if those two men came right beside you and asked, what are you waiting for? What's holding you back from doing the thing that God has called you to do? Whatever that is, may you, friends, have the courage and the faith and the ability this day to follow wherever that Spirit will lead you. Because no matter how close or far from home we go, and no matter how good or bad our circumstance, we are witnesses by what we do and say. So may others see the truth of the one who lived, died, rose, and ascended, and may they see that truth in us. May I remind you, it's not a pastor's work. It's not professional missionaries' work. The disciples were professional fishermen. This is our work. May you leave this place. May you have the courage to witness. And may you bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, no matter what season of life you are in. Thanks be to God. Amen.